space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazayasradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. As well as if you scroll down underneath the chat room, you'll notice a People for People radio link. Go over and check those wonderful folks out and tell them that crazy haired Mad Science Shazayas sent you over there. And also don't forget to check out Wolf Spirit Radio as well. So today, folks, I'm going to attempt to literally push the limits of efficiency. Not just with what I'm talking about on the show, but with my bandwidth and internet service and computers. And I'm going to actually try to do a live video stream while broadcasting the radio at the same exact time through the same exact system that I've been using duct tape and baling wire. But before I do that, I'm going to play this podcast, which is approximately about 10 minutes, because when I start live streaming over there at Twitch TV, I don't want to have any copyright issues on that in case this works out well. I want to be able to use it in the future. So with that said, I'm going to play this right here, and as soon as this is over, I will start the stream over there at Twitch and send a link into the chat room so that anybody interested in seeing what it is that I'm talking about can actually watch it over there as well. Now, keep in mind, I still haven't worked out the bugs on that, so the audio over there may be very low, so you might have to listen to a delayed, radio from the radio, or that if you can't hear the audio over there. But I will get that worked out. It's just going to be a matter of time. I may have to get a different type of microphone and try to sort that out that way. But in the meantime, we're going to do the best we can and hopefully bring you some really good content today. And so with that said, let's get this show under the road. Well, we don't want it under the road. That don't sound too safe. Let's just get it on the road. Everybody buckle up for safety and let's go on a mad science journey.
Energy storage, you can never have enough of it. Batteries, they have their limitations, or maybe there's a better solution. Omar, why don't you tell us about the SuperCat?
Thanks, Ken. Well, we have worked on using SuperCaps as storage media. SuperCaps, which are bigger capacitors were invented at the same time that batteries were invented about 150 years ago, and have been around since then, and have developed into SuperCaps, which are much larger capacitors. So capacitors or supercapacitors are inherently better storage devices than chemical batteries. They're more efficient, they last longer, they have resilience to temperature, they don't degrade, they don't have a memory effect. It's just much better to use capacitors for storage media, but they do have certain challenges, and those challenges include, or have been traditionally, restricted them to very specific uses of fast charging, fast discharging. So in order to use supercaps as storage media for in the battery world, you need to be able to charge them, but also discharge them slowly. So the first challenge that we overcame and have overcome with our technologies is to be able to use supercaps and charge them, but charge them slowly as required by the load. That's one of the major hurdles we overcame. The second real big hurdle is that supercaps are inherently low voltage devices. So in order to use them operationally, you have to put them in series and make them operationally at commercial voltages. When you do that, they have a tendency to become unstable, and it's very difficult to scale in terms of megawatts. So that's the second area we've overcome. So we have a balancing algorithm or a balancing technology that keeps the supercaps absolutely stable when they're charged or being discharged. Then we've also addressed the specific energy, or the energy that is stored in a kilogram of weight, which is also has been traditionally a problem, so that the form factor is affected. You know, where you can put X weight of chemical batteries, you have to put much more in supercaps. But advances in supercaps themselves, and with our unique proprietary charging and discharging technology, we've been able to increase the specific energy or energy density of supercaps, so that now the form factor is the same as that of a lithium-ion battery. So having done all this, and with the attributes of supercaps, that they have a million cycle life, for example, they can be charged in 30 seconds, we have now a product that is a true alternative to the chemical battery world without the difficulties and limitations of chemical batteries.
And we're here at the IE Tech Expo, and one of the things that impresses me is just the fact that it goes over all kinds of different energy storage needs, from wearables all the way to electric buses. And do the supercaps scale like that as well?
Yes. So one of the main objectives of our development was that whenever a battery should be used, our product should be used. Okay, so that means starting from wearables, which are milliwatts, up to grid storage, which is in megawatt hours, So this product covers the entire range of things. Yeah, it does.
And so I'll go into a telecom application for a bit. I mean, it seems like that's one niche where it could be very handy, but you don't want to have to monitor remote batteries, replace remote batteries. It seems like this is an app where you can just put it out there and it stays out there for a long time.
Absolutely. So a SuperCap by itself has a million cycle life. So what that means is that if you're charging it and discharging it once a day, the battery is supposed to last 2,700 years. That's what a million cycles means. So yes, it has a significantly longer life than any other product, a chemical product out there. And specifically for applications like telecom towers, which require uptime, almost 100% uptime, this is an ideal solution. In fact, we are doing two projects in South Africa as we speak with two of the largest telecom operators. And we are replacing lead-acid batteries. They use traditionally lead-acid batteries with our SuperCaps. In fact, they've tried, they've done some proof of project performance projects with lithium-ion flow, and none of them has worked. From both a, because it's a tough environment there. It's a high temperature. They have issues like theft. So in all aspects, including price, by the way, I haven't mentioned that it's cheaper than most batteries, including lithium-ion. This product is going to be much better.
And from a safety standpoint, are there issues there?
Yeah, so from a safety perspective, one of the key aspects of SuperCaps is that it can be discharged to 0 volts, so it has no energy. So in case of an emergency, a SuperCap that's full of energy can be discharged to 0 volts, zero energy, in less than a second, okay, without damaging the battery, so you can use it again. And the second area is it's because it doesn't have noxious flammable chemicals in it, it's also non-toxic, non-flammable. So if there's a fire and you discharge the energy completely, it actually becomes a fire retardant. So from a safety perspective, it's significantly safer than any other chemical battery in the world.
And I want to talk to you a moment about kind of the system approach. It seems like you have kind of a utility type of system server, you called it, right?
Yes, the server is different from the battery. It's a hardware and software device, and the key element or key outcome of this device is to enable independent power. Renewable energy traditionally has been fed into the grid, either through utility grid installations or rooftop installations. It's called grid-tied investment, and that's why there's this whole angst between utilities and solar suppliers, because it's using the grid yet taking revenue away from the grid owner, which is not a sustainable model, and it's not going to last. So the server enables the grid to operate in the background, or if not even. So you can have your own house or factory or commercial establishment running 100% on solar. And how it does it is that you have to install the battery, the solar panels, and the server. Now, the server, the unique thing about the server is that it enables integration of many inputs, many generation sources, so like solar and wind, and also handles all the impact of the load. Now, the electricity and electric grid is a very complicated, sophisticated system, because the load, which is the motors, the fridges, air conditioners, compressors, they have certain things called surge current, which you go up to 1,000% for a few seconds. Traditionally, inverters can't handle these things. So the server handles the load completely on its own. All the peak load, it handles on its own. Handles the integration of the solar and the battery together, so that it gives you a solution that you can be completely off the grid in any environment and economically. So, for example, in California, if we were to take someone, any household off the grid, and a Californian rate is about 20 to 24 cents per kilowatt hour, you could get your payback in about 4 years. For 24 hours.
Does that include the tax credits, though, in that 4 years?
It includes the tax credits, and if by any chance the government repeats the tax credit, you'll get your payback in 8-9 years.
Still pretty good payback on that. And would these also have applications in things like electric buses, mm-hmm. electric cars, and so forth, the supercapacitors?
Yes. So that's a big application for us, because we feel that the prime differentiator between a fuel car and an electric car is the time it takes to charge the electric car.
Yeah, hold on.
So in a fuel tank, when you go and buy a car, you ask about everything except for the range of the fuel tank. And when you put fuel in your car and the fuel finishes, the car will stop. But you never worry about it. You don't ask the salesman, hey, how many miles am I going to go in this tank of gas? And the reason you don't do that is because you can refuel in 1 minute. I mean, if you had to refuel in 8 hours, there wouldn't be a billion cars on the road today. So with our battery, you can recharge in 30 seconds. So range becomes irrelevant. If you can go 100 miles and you can charge in 30 seconds while you get your cappuccino at a charging station, then that's the way that you're going to actually provide consumers a viable alternative to fuel engine cars. So yes, it is a very big market for us.
And so it sounds like you're already in production to some extent. What's next as far as, you know, rolling this out?
So the first step is to get people to believe us. And the way we're doing it is we're doing actual projects. So we're doing these projects in South Africa for the telecom towers. We're going to be installing, we're working with some very large utilities in the U.S. to do some proof of performance projects. And we are going to do an electric vehicle project very soon. We'll invite you to driving the car around the track. And once we actually demonstrate it and shows how it works, show how it works, I'm sure the rollout will be interesting.
Excellent. Well, Omar, I appreciate your time and good luck with this.
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. So that's a little introduction to SuperCap technology, and we're really seriously going to push the limits here as far as broadcasting capability. I've been joined by Ted. That's who was banging around in the background during that podcast. How you doing, Ted?
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Didn't realize. It happens. Duct tape and baling wire, brother. All right, so basically what I'm going to do now is I'm going to copy a link from Twitch TV so that anyone who wants to go over there and try to watch live stream of the radio show today, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. So we're going to give this a shot. Keep in mind once again that the microphone level might be low. I've got to get that sorted out, but I can't do it live during the show. I got to do some test runs and try to get it. So you may actually have to listen in over here and watch in over there. Might look like a delay, or it might just work out pretty well. We'll figure that out, so maybe somebody could tell me if they jump over there to Twitch TV whether or not they was able to actually hear it. So I'm actually going to start the streaming now to see how we do here. So let's see, this will take a minute or so and I'll see myself go live and then I'll mute that. Yeah, I think I already got it muted. So let's see what happens here. Okay, looks like the video is going live over there at Twitch. I got a commercial on. Let me mute that. Unmuted. Let's see what happens here. Alright, so anyway, while we're waiting for that video to come up, because Twitch is running a commercial, which is alright by me because it's their platform, super efficiency, objective, performing a function in the best possible manner with the least waste of time and effort, having and using, what's that say, requisite knowledge? Skill and industry competent, capable, a reliable, efficient assistant, satisfactory and economical to use, or new air conditioner is more efficient than the old one. That's a definition that I pulled off the internet for efficiency, super efficiency. Oh well, whatever. Either way, basically we're talking about getting the most amount, the maximum amount of power usage out that you can possibly get for any generator system. So it looks like the video's up over there, Ted. How you doing, brother?
Doing real good, Ted. Morning to you, brother.
Well, so far so good. We got Twitch TV going live right now. And what you're looking at, if you're over there at Twitch TV, is my workbench that has the experiment that I'm running, a signal generator. at move the camera up, and this actually has a delay for me here, so there it is. All right, so if you're looking up there on Twitch TV and you see there's a USB charger plugged into a surge protector, and basically that has a 5 volt output that then in turn goes down to a DDS signal generator. Now that DDS signal generator runs off about 5 volts or so, so what its potential job is right now is it is pulsing a 600 hertz square wave into an output, basically into an input of a microwave oven transformer. So what they tell me about these particular signal generators is that if it is not under a load, that it will push out about 9 volts out the output side there. So I've got approximately, give or take, 9 volts coming out of a signal generator and pulsing at 600 hertz a square wave that is in turn energizing the secondary of the microwave oven transformer. Now on the top of the microwave oven transformer, I drilled a hole in the deal and I put a screw so that I could make me a ground for the high voltage output. So the high voltage output of the secondary and that ground wire are now my output wires going into a series of run capacitors that basically came out of like microwave oven microwave ovens. And so they're AC capacitors, 300 or 400 volts, just normal AC capacitors, nothing spectacular. But either way, those are running into a 1,000 volt, 100 amp bridge rectifier that is taking the AC current off the high voltage side. Now, I said current, but that's what I mean is voltage, the voltage that's coming off of there. Because when you ramp the voltage up, your current drops down. And this is the key to the whole process here. So anyway, what we got going on here is that it's going through that bridge rectifier and then in turn going out and charging a DC capacitor. So if anybody happens to jump over there at Twitch, there's also a chat room over there, and you can throw me a message up in that chat room, and that way I can see whether or not you can hear over there or not, and help me with this test if I can't see in the chat room because I'm not logged in over there, because that causes me problems on this side. But throw a message up in the chat room and let me know if you can see the video good. It might be starting and stopping, I don't know. We're just going to have to play this by ear. Still there, Ted? Ted? I think I lost Ted.
You didn't lose me. I just need my microphone.
So oh, okay. There we go. Well, I'm going to ask you.
I'm on the Twitch, but my bandwidth on my phones is so low. It works. I see your video.
Cool. All right.
I see it being 2.6 volts on the meter.
Cool.
Except mine's just going to keep buffering over and over again because it's just so slow.
Yeah.
I don't pay for the internet.
So anyway, basically, I just wanted to, I'll probably ask you that once or twice more or whatever, because I'm trying to see, I got Skype running, I've got Sam Broadcaster running, I've got, all the chat rooms running, and I got the OBS Broadcaster running to broadcast over to Twitch. So, if anybody is in a combination of both, throw me a message into the Shazoo's chat room and let me know how it's doing over there, because we got to know if we're going to be able to do this from now on. Anyway, I can see I'm having a little trouble as far as how fast I can send it out, but it seems to be going, so I think we're holding on for a moment. All right, back to the deal. The output side of the doggone bridge rectifier, which I said is 1,000 volt at 100 amp bridge rectifier, is going into a DC capacitor. Now, in series with the negative output of the bridge rectifier and the negative input of the capacitor, I have two car audio stereo capacitors that are running in series with them as well. And also from the negative output of the bridge rectifier to the negative output of the, or the negative input of the capacitor, the first one in line, is that I have a 7.2 volt nickel cadmium battery running series with that as well. Now, from the output of the one on the right, the capacitor, the car audio capacitor on the right, I have in series two nickel metal hydride batteries that also being charged. Now, I don't know if you can see my voltage on the meter very well at this point. Let me see if I can even see it from where I'm at. Sort of see it. But now keep in mind, I'm starting off from a 5 volt input and I'm running into a DDS signal generator. So that's part of the 5 volt load itself. And then that output is basically ramped up to 9 volts, give or take. And so that 9 volts is pulsing the primary on the microwave oven transformer, which is actually part of that 5 volts load. Now, that voltage is now, or that current that's coming out, that output signal that's coming out into that, is now energizing the secondary, which is ramping it up to anywhere from 60 to 90 volts AC. And so keep in mind, that's just mostly just voltage alone. And that, in turn, is going out through the AC capacitors and then down through the bridge rectifier and then down into the first charge capacitor and in series with the two car audio amplifiers. So also off of the output, the first charge capacitor is two smaller capacitors that are in turn running in parallel with the first charge capacitor that you see inside the video. Well, you can't hardly see it. I'll have to probably get up with the camera a lot closer and show you a better view. But we're just have to stick with this for the moment so I can get this squared away and see if it's going to work. So anyway, basically, from that point on, that output of the first charge capacitor is running into a boost converter circuit that basically takes whatever voltage comes in and ramps the voltage up higher, and it has to start at about 3 volts. That output is running to another 9-volt circuit. It's the one that you may see the little blinking. Yeah, you can see the little blinking LED that's on that circuit with the four capacitors in parallel. Now, when that circuit there, because that particular circuit requires a total of 9 volts to run, when it's finally up to its full potential, it will have all of the LEDs lit up. There will be a blue and two red LEDs lit up. So basically, it's showing me I'm dropping a lot of frames on there, so it might not be so great over there right at the moment. I'll have to get this sorted out. Anyway, from that point on, you can see that my my charge voltage so far is at 6.05 volts and slowly rising. My charge volt on the nickel metal hydride batteries are 3.83 and slowly rising. My charge voltage on the 7.2, and I forgot the nickel metal hydrides are 9 volt batteries. There's two of those being charged in series with the second, the one on the right, the car audio output that's on the right in the video there. And so the 7.2 volt nickel cadmium battery is up to 3.92 volts. So anyway, what's the big deal here? Basically, if you can take the output of a signal generator, which I explained starts off at an input at 5 volts, and then it's going to, that is going, that 5 volts is going to be running the circuit, which is then in turn going to be putting out approximately 9 volt, give or take, signal that's pulsing up. Basically, I want to see with this particular experiment how far that I can push the efficiency of the output of this deal. So, what's going on right now is that everything out there, every circuit, every charge, even the doggone voltmeters, which will add some sort of resistance to the circuit as well, have to be calculated into the doggone equation of how much efficiency we've got going on when it's all said and done. Let me see. I think I got a message over here. Sorry about that, folks. I know it's hard for live radio. And, no, it wasn't a message for me. All right, so I guess nobody got my message. It's all right. All right, so it looks like we're still streaming over there, all right, but it's kind of probably going slow, give or take a little bit. Anyway, so basically, when it all comes down to how much work can I actually get for 5 volts? Now, I got a 5 volt input, and with all the explanation of all the losses that I just told you in the system, everything that is showing on those voltmeters is surplus. The rest of the energy that would be on those voltmeters is what is being used up by the circuitry that's all involved. Everything from the transformer to the capacitors, the boost converter circuit, and even the voltmeters themselves adding to some sort of resistance to the system. Now, at 6.07 on my main output, when that finally gets up to around about 7 volts, you'll start seeing the doggone 500,000 microfarad car audio speaker circuits kick on, and you'll start seeing some blinking lights on there. And when it finally makes it to its balance, its final level, then that will be the voltage that we have to do with right there. And so the reason why I'm trying to get everybody to a good understanding of supercapacitors is because supercapacitors, while each one of them are usually low voltage, what I've got in this particular circuit, if you're watching the video and you look over to the left side, there are approximately 20 supercapacitors in series with each other, and then in parallel with each other. So there's two sets of two supercapacitors in series with each other, equaling up to 11 volts apiece. So each one of those, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, let me count them over here. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Alright, so there's 10 rows of supercapacitors all running parallel with each other, and each one of the sets of supercapacitors has 2 in them, so there's 4 per row, and they add up to 11.5 volts apiece. About 11 volts apiece. So if they ever meet their full charge, then that will give me a surplus of 11 volts. It takes about 9 volts to run any of these given circuits here. So hopefully I didn't bump something over there, because I seen my voltage look like it changed a little bit, I think. We'll see. If it starts going down, then I'll know. But you got to watch it when you're touching experiments. You get a loose wire and such. But anyway, normally supercapacitors, they don't like to be charged with current, so you actually have to learn a few tricks about charging them, like hook a light bulb up to them and charge with your charging systems, because most of the charging systems out there will recognize it as a dead short, and it'll shut your charger off. But with supercapacitors, because of the way they're actually designed, you can charge them things with voltage alone. Did you know that, Ted? Did you mute your mic again?
No, I didn't know that you did.
Yeah, well, you can charge them with voltage alone. Yesterday, I had them hooked up slightly different, which right now, these are running in parallel with the output of the bridge rectifier. And so yesterday I had them running in parallel with the first capacitor in that's being charged, and it charged them up completely, and I was able to run a little electric motor for quite some time off of it, just as if it was a regular battery. And that's the key about supercapacitors, is you can use them like as if they were a regular battery. It's pretty cool stuff, man. So, with that said, when you're talking about efficiency, you got to understand that when you're pulling energy off of any generator out there, that when you start to put that generator under a load, you're going to make that generator have to start working harder. When that generator has to start working harder, it's going to begin to slow it down. And there's where all your losses come in. You got, when you're trying to pull too much current or push too much current, you get things hot, and then when they reach their thermal breakdown, they fail. And so, with that said, you want to try to avoid that hot, that things getting hot. Well, the key about what you're seeing going on in here with this particular experiment is, as long as I've been running these things, you know, for like the last 4 days, I keep running these things pretty much all day and night, and I keep charging and discharging them, so it's on its way back up now, whereas before it was on its way down. And so when it finally reaches its level voltage, and whatever loads are going on will drain that down, and then when they finally get down to their minimum, I'll know from that point what I can add, what I need to add, and what I need to take away and such. So starting from the ground up with the load connected to it, now keep in mind, all these voltages you see right here on the deal, the 6.3 coming off the bridge rectifier charging the first main capacitor, the 3.84 coming off of the two nickel metal hydride 9-volt batteries, and the 3.92 coming off of the nickel cadmium, 7.2 nickel cadmium battery. All of those are factored into the load. Every bit of voltage that you're seeing right here is while this thing is running under a load. And so my best thing would be that when this thing finally gets fully charged in the supercapacitor portion of it, that this whole thing starts to light up like a Christmas tree. When everything starts to light up and I can maintain that voltage by the pressure that I put in there, I know then that without a doubt I have reached super efficiency. You're talking from a 5 volt output into a signal generator that only has a 9 volt output maximum, you know, while not under a load, but this is basically putting that output under a load. Now keep in mind that all the time while I've ran this, that transformer's still cool, the bridge rectifier's still cool, all the circuitry and even the signal generator is not having to work hard, so it's remaining at a normal temperature, and so it's not going to reach its thermal breakdown and fail. So what do you think so far, Ted?
You were telling me a little bit of it the other day, and I was really feeling the whole setup, to be honest with you.
Well, basically, what I'm trying to show people, if they actually listen to what I'm saying, is that if you take that energy off of, let's say you got a 5,000 watt generator, and normally if you run a 5,000 watt generator, it's got quite a less wattage that it can actually run on the output side, because every time you put it on a load, that takes away from the peak wattage that's available. So if it says you got 5,000 watts available, you're probably only going to get anywhere from 3,500 to 4,000 watts, depending on how heavy of a load you've actually got that generator on. Which in turn, that drag on that generator head is actually going to make the engine or whatever prime mover you got on the other side have to work harder, therefore adding to a decrease in efficiency, and eventually if you put too much of a load on there, it'll drop on its face and then it won't do what you want it to do. So with this particular method, you can take that full 5,000 watts off, take that 5,000 watts of current and separate it, chop it all up and put it into multiple streams of high voltage. And we're not talking about, like, you know, when I say high voltage, we're not talking about high voltage as far as a big heavy arc that's going to set fire to stuff. You basically want to bring this down to a peaceful high voltage, higher voltage than the rating of your capacitors, and that way you can pressurize those capacitors on demand. And I'm using multiple types of capacitors, and I actually got more capacitors on the way because I'm using run type of capacitors, and I'm also going to introduce some actual start capacitors. Now, start capacitors, when you got those running, you don't want to run those constantly under full-time load the conventional way, because a start capacitor is basically made to give the initial punch to get a motor or a compressor started. That's the main deal. However, running it by this method, you can actually use that start capacitor as a run capacitor in order to beef up that punch to the bridge rectifier, so to speak. And so from that point on, running that bridge rectifier, then coming out the other side, using a normal capacitor as basically to dump that power into, and using super capacitors as a storage bank, you can stabilize that voltage and get a steady move forward away from that generator. Does that make sense to you so far, Ted?
Yes, it does.
So anyway, by doing this, you're not drawing too much current from your generator. You're taking all that energy off of the generator and you're moving it away from the generator. So if you're not drawing too much current, that means your generator head is not going to get hot. If you're not trying to push through too much current through your circuitry, that means that your circuitry is not going to get hot. So essentially, what we're doing is we are peacefully taking what power we want off of this generator and calmly moving it out and just using what we need off of this in order to maintain a stable voltage on the output side. Once you get those super capacitors fully charged, they act as the buffer between your output source. All these capacitors are acting as a buffer between your output source of your generator to your actual load. So none of that load is actually being transmitted back to the actual generator itself. It's being ran like batteries off of your capacitor bank. Now, keep in mind what I've explained to you so far is that I have two different types of batteries that are being charged as we're running this load. And I have the supercapacitors, which are actually carrying the weight of the load, are being charged as well. So while we're sitting here having this conversation, you're seeing that the voltage is slowly creeping up. Once it gets up to its maximum potential, it will level itself off. All these voltages will level itself off, and then I will know that this is the maximum amount that I can run off this particular circuit. So if I somehow or another, through this experiment, achieve the full capacity of what those supercapacitors are capable of doing, then that means I have 11 volts steady on my output side of usable energy now. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, it's kind of genius, and when I think about the way generators are set up, they have those little capacitors in there, you know, and I know usually when people are making a loop off of a generator motor, they take the old capacitor off of the rotor or stator of the generator and put a new one on because it affects all that. Like you're saying, you can pull out way more not way more, but you can pull out a lot more than you would have been able to had you not modified that generator slightly.
Yep, and by taking it off of, instead of taking it off of the generator directly, that reduces that lens effect that causes the braking on the armature, which begins to slow you down. So let me see here. See if there's any questions in the chat room yet. So, I hope that all you folks out there listening are hearing in, Goodson. Somebody out there in the chat room, if you can, throw me a message in there and tell me we're doing all right, because this is an experiment today to see whether or not we can live stream video at the same time while actually running a radio broadcast. And so far, I don't see too much dropping off, with exception of in and out a little bit of the frame rate for the actual deal, and that's probably because I'm running Skype at the same time. But I'd like to have Ted on here while I'm doing this, so I'll go back and listen to that later and see if there's any way that I can try to cut some corners and get some super efficiency out of this old duct tape and baling wire system that I've got going on. So anyway, if people understand what it is that I'm trying to show them, and they understand about what I've been trying to say about losses and stuff like that, if you use this energy properly and you guide the energy to where you want it to go, there are no losses in the system. Friction, which is going to generate some heat, is no longer a loss, because you're going to guide that heat to wherever you want it to go and put it into whatever form of energy that you want it from that point on. There's different types of motor controllers and circuitry out there that actually have water cool systems, and that's because at the type of amperage and wattage that you're trying to pull or push through these things, they get hot, and if they aren't cooled down, they'll fail. Well, that heat output you can use, maybe say to heat some water up, or heat some water up and use some thermal electrics to, recapture that energy, moving it to where you want to go. What do you think, Ted?
Makes sense. Heat some water, move it around.
So,
send it here, send it.
So, have I sparked any thoughts in your mind by this process so far?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have, because I've been thinking about supercapacitors for a while, but I was always looking at using, like, the bigger ones, the ones that are, like, 1.5 volts and, like, a heavy farad, and then, so, like, once you put them enough together, you would still have a farad or two in there.
Oh, yeah,
and
the larger your bank, the better.
Yeah, and you've seen those Maxwell supercapacitors they sell on eBay a lot?
Yep.
Those are the ones I was looking at before you showed me the smaller ones.
Well,
and so
keep in mind,
the other ones, there's a reason they're $50 each, or whatever, or $30 each. So if you bought six or seven to put a 12 volt battery together, you'd be, quite a few $100 in.
Yep.
And
I
noticed something there. I wanted to test one of those for a while.
But either way, because of the way those capacitors are designed, the longevity, because of the way that they're, pretty resilient and well-built, is that they have a lot of storage space. And so, right now, you can charge supercapacitors. They like to be charged slowly. They don't like a lot of current. But once they get charged up, they're just like a regular battery. And so, this kind of goes back to my redneck hot tub that I kept showing everybody. There was a reason why I showed everybody the redneck hot tub. And the reason is this. There are, when you're starting to use energy, it might take you longer to get, something up to speed, or something up to full charge, or even up to full temperature. That redneck hot tub was the one of the first really good examples of what it is that I'm talking about here. Using a coffee pot element and an old tub, I was able to use basically the equivalence of running your coffee maker to circulate water through pretty good sized tub with full of water, with no insulation under the tub, no insulation above the tub, and in really super cold weather, actually get that doggone water so hot that you couldn't sit in it. And in the dead of winter, I would actually be out there in that thing in my shorts in the dead of winter when there was ice and snow outside, and I'd actually have to shut the doggone coffee pot element off for a while to allow the water to cool down so that it didn't boil me alive. You see what I mean? That's incredible efficiency. And so that particular, if it'll work with water, it'll work with what I'm showing you right here, which you can see by the voltages right now. Right now we're up to 6.10 and getting ready to kick over to 6.11 on our output voltage. When it gets high enough, it should start turning on a few more things. Now keep in mind, like I said, this takes a lot longer of a process because I've only got one high voltage input coming into the capacitors. But you can run multiple streams of high voltage into. I gotta wave my hand in front of. Ouch! I wave my hand in front of the camera to see if I'm still. It looks like I'm still broadcasting over there. So anyway. You can run multiple high voltage inputs into your capacitor banks, and that's why I say that if you take your generator and you divide that voltage, that current that's coming out, and all the voltage, and divide it up, use it to pulse through circuitry, square wave at 600 hertz, pulsing transformers like what I'm doing right here, then you can ramp those voltages up high and then charge those capacitors rapidly. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd be basically like the equivalence if you had one garden hose with a high pressure nozzle on there. You obviously lost your volume. You don't have near the volume that you would have had if you didn't have that restriction in the way. But once you ramp that up, that means you can move that water faster and further. And then if you had a big pipe and you was trying to fill that big pipe up, you wouldn't be able to get it the volume of that pipe filled up with that high pressure. However, if you had multiple garden hoses that would basically fill the volume of that, you would have your current back again. You see what I mean? So it's simple. If you can understand how plumbing works, you can understand how electricity works. So, with that said, what you're seeing on there, if you're watching the Twitch live stream, and these videos that go out there on Twitch, I guess they'll stay up for like 14 days, so you can always go back if you didn't get a chance to look at it. You can go back and get a chance to see what it is that I'm doing. But everything from that USB charger, which is is plugged into the surge protector, everything from that surge protector to the USB charger to the signal generator to everything being charged up on down there, if that was put in schematic form, you would have the answer to how to make a generator incredibly efficient by taking the energy off of the generator. Because keep in mind that 5-volt USB charger, it's being ran by 120 volts AC. It's not necessarily putting any load on my power grid per se. It's just a little small charger. But imagine multiples of those on that surge protector running multiples of these different circuits, and then me ramping that voltage up in a safe fashion to where I'm not sending arcs out. I don't need to send arcs out. This is what I've been trying to tell everybody about voltage. Voltage is pretty impressive, and when you understand actually what is going on inside a supercapacitor, it'll all make sense to you. So with that said, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye, and I'm going to continue these experiments. I posted a video link in the super chat room of my latest video, And if you go watch that particular video there, you will see that better example and closer up of what it is that I'm explaining to you on the radio right now. And if you do go over there and watch that video and you like what you're seeing there and you want to see more of these type of experiments, this is number two of how far. And there's going to be some more of these until this particular project is finally completed. And by the time I get through with this entire project right here, I hope to have an entire schematic that I can post out here on Shaziz Radio from start to finish of everything that's going on in there, that if you want to try to replicate this type of process, that you will know everything that is going on in this system and be able to take it to your local electronics guy and have them build a replica of this circuit that you could then in turn plug into any generator and pull that energy off of that generator in the most efficient manner to get work done. What do you think, Ted?
I'm excited to see it in operation.
Me too. I'm really excited about this process right here. We're up to 6.13 volts on the output side there of the first capacitor bank, and we're up to 3.88 volts on the two nickel metal hydride 9 volt batteries, and we're up to 3.97 volts on the 7.2 volt nickel cadmium battery. See, all these batteries and capacitors, they will charge at higher voltage with lower current. I don't know if people realize that or not, but they will charge. You're basically pressurizing the capacitor. It's bleeding down into the batteries, and these batteries are actually running series. So as I'm running these loads real time, and these are real time numbers right here, it's taking a little longer than, you know, you would be if you hooked up to a regular charger. But the key to this whole deal is to show that with just voltage alone, that you know, keep in mind, if you actually do all the measurements and mathematics, you're going to probably see some milliwatts or milliamps inside there, whatever, but nothing substantial to what I'm trying to say here. The voltage is the pressure, and that's what's actually charging these capacitors. So with the least amount of input and the least amount of output on the first circuit, I'm able to get those type of voltages at this stage right here. Now, when I finally get the entire circuit completed and I actually get all the bugs worked out and find all the points to make it even more efficient, we're going to see something pretty cool. And that's what I hope to show everybody. So you got any thoughts on the matter there, Ted?
Mm.
Feel free to give me some time to breathe, brother.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I do have a lot of thoughts on that because, you know, I'm pretty interested in the way that these batteries work. I got a buddy of mine that he's a one Bedini wheel that's turning real slow, the way Bedini said to do it.
Yep.
And then, you know, he just added on a bunch of extended piece of wire coils with bridge rectifiers. And he's got maybe about 20 or 30 AC start run capacitors there that stay filled on all them taps of the Bedini. And it just bleeds over into his system. He's probably got, I don't know, 25 batteries. They just stay at 13, but he runs 90% off his power off one Bedini machine.
Yep.
And a bunch of start run caps that bleed into his battery bank.
Cool.
The only thing that is a problem is, like, you know, your refrigerator running on an inverter, it can damage your refrigerator. Stuff like that. So he doesn't run his refrigerator and his furnace off of it.
Well,
but other than that, he's off the grid just with a Bedini and some capacitors. You see what I mean?
Yeah, that last video that I talked about, they've got these server technologies out there for supercapacitors that will actually regulate the load and keep it steady so that you're not tearing up your inverters and your doggone you know, appliances and such. Also, I posted a video over there as well in the super chat room of another guy out there that's got a gizmo that's kind of like on the same long line of thinking that I'm talking about. And he's got like 300 and some odd thumbs down on there. I never will understand why people thumb down people who's out there trying to show, you know, some good information. Yeah.
It's a lot easier to hate than it is to appreciate, brother, sometimes.
Yeah.
That's why it's easier to quit thumbs down than thumbs up for some people.
Well, either way, I posted that video along with my video, How Far 2. So I got How Far 2, and I got a video of another guy who has built a generator system, and he's kind of using some of the same techniques that I'm talking about. And the reason why I thumbed the video up was two reasons. One is the 300 and some odd critics of the guy trying to share things with people. And the other thing is because that is the type of thinking that I like, the outside-the-box thinking. And if you watch as his voltages are coming up, by the time it's all said and done, he's still got higher voltages that have to finally come back down so that battery's at its normal level. So he's actually built a really efficient generating system. And this is what I've been trying to point out all along, is that a lot of these solar panel kits out here, they're capable of doing a whole lot more than they're actually being doing. They have charge controllers on them that charge the batteries, and then you're draining directly off the battery. Well, that charge controller is basically just like a voltage regulator. It's not doing anything fancy but regulating that voltage of the battery. And so with that said, by taking the energy straight off of the doggone solar panel and using it in a different fashion and ramping that voltage up, dropping the current down and keeping the current out of the system until you finally need to draw a load, that's what these capacitors' job's for. They will carry that load. Once you get that energy coming out at real time, they will carry that load. And so if you have a hybrid battery / capacitor, your lead acid battery or whatever battery banks that you're using aren't going to get hot. They're not going to be working hard because all they need to do is maintain a certain amount of pressure and voltage going on in order to keep those capacitors topped up, which the capacitors themselves are actually carrying the load for you. And so it makes your system, your charging system, incredibly efficient that way. And so these doggone solar panels out there are capable of a whole lot more energy output than they're actually being used for, and including your car alternator, your any type of generator out there on the market, they're all capable of producing more energy and running more stuff than what they're actually being used for. It's the way that they're being used right now that makes them so inefficient. It's the way that we're moving energy from point A to point B, and the way that we're trying to demand more from that generator than it's capable of producing at any given time. That's why you look at a generator, it'll say, you know, 600 or 6,000 watt peak, but maybe only 45 to 5,000 watt, normal load time, depending on how much you've got piled onto that generator. Now, if you run this energy like it is that I'm explaining to you, and there's multiple ways of changing that energy coming out of that generator. Science says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So with that said, where's this power going? And that's where they come in with the laws of physics and talk about all these different losses, friction, heat, and everything else. Anytime you move energy, they claim that you have to lose energy. You don't have to lose energy. Yeah.
What about the ether? I didn't hear you mention the ether.
Oh, I ain't even got to that point yet, because...
Well, that's the thing about all this math and the equations. Nobody wants to mention the fourth part of the quadratic equation, is that there's ether.
Yeah, and there's also a Venturi effect that, especially like if you're using static electricity or radiant energy, that as that energy is being discharged across the spark gap, it will actually suck more energy in from the atmosphere because of all the way that the, you got hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, dust particles, all of which we're living in a, like an electrical world, right? And so all of this stuff going on is actually creating a vacuum that's actually pulling energy into that system as it's shooting across. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the fact that we're inside of the Earth's field makes our ether, like, extremely potential. You know, I mean, there's almost infinite potential there for whatever we want.
Yeah.
I think the only thing would be going out into space and then trying to tap into the ether. It seems like to me there'd be, it'd be a whole different form, and you'd have to use different rules and everything.
Yeah.
So, but here, it doesn't seem too difficult to me. I'm kind of wondering, now that we've got computers and stuff going, why Maxwell's equations haven't gone back to quaternions, and why we're not trying to factor in the ether, because we have so much technology to run the equations now.
Well, I'm going to turn this microphone around towards me now. Got myself all up in the doggone chair like a frog. Ah. Yeah, there we go. So anyway, I'm watching myself on Twitch over here while doing a live broadcast and sitting up in my chair like a frog, trying to keep warm. Well, this is what it looks like at old Shaziz Mad Science at the radio show. Hi everybody out there on Twitch and YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Shaziz Radio and such. So anyway, basically what I've been trying to explain to everybody, Ted, and it's funny watching yourself like a moment later do something, and I got it muted over there so I can't hear myself, otherwise I think I'd be echoing, but this is cool technology. I'm going to try to turn around this way and see if I can talk to the camera. Maybe I'll move the camera this way, so I'm going to turn around so far. There we go. Ain't I good looking, man? I'm uglier than a mud fence, but I'll get over it. It's got a face for radio. What do you think of that?
you're a good-looking man, she says. Why do you think they're keeping all that ether technology so secret?
Well,
I know they're researching it, but I don't know why they ain't researching at whatever Stanford or whatever.
I think that for the most part, you know, the energy companies don't want you to be efficient. It's like if you're selling gasoline, you don't want nobody to know that. You know, there's ways to get better gas mileage. You know, these guys out there with these super tuner cars can go in there with computers and they can tune these cars up to get more horsepower and run more efficient. They can actually ramp up the air input or the fuel input, balance them out, get that perfect formula going on. And so, you know, with all that, you know, they can get a super fast, really efficient car. But what I'm saying to people is you can do better than that. You know, there, with a little bit of creative engineering, you'd be surprised at what you'd accomplish with your average internal combustion engine. So, you know, with the same thing with anything that you do, there's always room for improvement as far as efficiency go. And I honestly believe that. I know. I don't believe anymore. I know because of everything that I've researched. I dedicated my life. The reason why I do this, folks, is because, you know, number one, I made a promise that I was going to learn everything there was to know about alternative energy and share it with everybody and his brother for free. But it's also because I have a love for the world. You know, I have a love for people, and I know there's people out there in this world that they don't have the luxuries of a fancy computer or, you know, even this computer I got, this old antique, man. I got Windows 90, or I got Windows XPs, I got some Linux going on and different stuff. This one over here I think might be a Windows Vista or whatever. I got everything from Windows 3.1 all the way up to modern day, stuff. So, either way, it's duct tape and bailing wire. But back to what I was trying to say is, even these older computers would be a luxury to other people out there in the world. And if I can be comfortable in this room right here with heat and cooling when I need it and lighting, then I want everybody else out there in the world to be able to experience the same thing. I want everybody else to have the opportunity to benefit as well. And so it's my goal and my hope is to basically start off with bringing super incredible efficiency to the world as far as showing people a different method of how to use energy. Now, what I'm showing you here with electricity, it isn't exclusive to electricity alone. It will work with any type of combustion fuel. It will work with any type of energy source that you can imagine, heating and cooling. If you understand what's going on with that energy, if you understand where the so-called losses are, then you know where to start. You find the weakest point in any system where it's going to reach its thermal breakdown, and you start from that point on. You know that that system will fail at this point when it reaches its thermal breakdown, and it will start a domino effect that will start tearing up everything else down the line. So you start re-engineering from that point, and if you want to start off from the very beginning of your actual fuel input, then, or even your motor generators. When you're out there building alternative energy devices, you got to understand where your weakest point is. You got to understand where your losses are and understand how that energy is traveling and how it wants to travel. It wants to travel peacefully. You can use all the energy you want. You'll never run out of it if you use it properly. But if you understand from start to finish, whether it be your voltage input or your fuel input, and you start to understand the physics of what's actually going on inside the internal combustion engine, what's going on inside your electrical motor, and then you could take that and you can bring it down to its maximum amount of efficiency. What is the very least that any given piece of equipment will run on? All right, and what is the very least that it will run on? And at what frequency will it run the best and the coolest? See, there's a difference in the voltage over here. Here in the United States, we run it at 60 hertz. Overseas, they run it at 50 hertz. Now, the difference between the two is we're running ours a little hotter than they are. Maybe because we're energy hogs or whatever. But either way, that's current we're talking about. All right? 60 volts or 60 hertz at 120 volts over here. And over there, it's like 50 hertz at 220. 220 is more efficient, and running it at 50 hertz is more efficient, and I believe that's why they do that over there. Now, for whatever reason, we're at 60 hertz. Tom, go ahead.
I got a question about her thought on efficiency, and utilizing the technology of line distribution, where you had so much pressure up there going into your transformer, and then so much pressure going into your house, so you have so much pressure of 120 volts with the high amperage potential running through your house to run all your appliances. And it's like, well, that's that right there, that thought process right there, in my opinion, is kind of the antithesis of true electricity at its most efficient form, because in its most efficient form, the potential of the positive and negative wave being at a potential of possibly at 60 hertz with a potential of a lot of current there, but it's not actually in the wire, and it's not going to turn, its current is never really going to be generated until an appliance or something asks for it at the point of negative and positive coming together, in which negative doesn't necessarily have to be a negative voltage, it's just a reference point for the higher voltage. So the negative could be above 0 volts, and the positive is just way more above that, and then there is a negative-positive differential there. Then when you have the correct frequency, like you're saying, and the correct potential voltage there, you don't have to worry about the amperage. It's created on demand and only used up as much as it needs right there, so you don't. It's not running through a bunch of wires in your house, going to a secondary or anything like that. It's a positive potential and a negative potential, two different waves, 180 degrees out of phase that come together in the most efficient way of electricity. It's just allowing that light bulb or that heater just to use what it wants right there without needing all that extra pressure in the line.
That's right.
And I don't think a lot of people will believe that, but then you're not taking into account the ether. Once those two waves are there and the appliance is running, the ether is generating and receiving the what is needed and the excess. So like a lot of the heat doesn't even come back in your system. You have to really push a lot of current load. You have to plug a lot of loads in to a system like that to send any kind of heat back, because it's just it's not there. It's not needed. It's not used. So it doesn't have to be. And I think with our houses, with all the, you know, the 14, 12 gauge wire, with all that serious potential down there, that's why we look at electricity as, you know, so powerful or needing so much area to send it around, or it's because of how inefficient it is. And, you know, I wanted to put that in there because I think that's truly the most efficient way to run appliances, is just with the potential of the frequency, and then it runs and it doesn't create the backwardness, it's just not necessary.
Here's the thing. If you understand what I've just showed everybody here, that power that's coming out of the the grid that comes into your house, you can take this same process and you can clean that power up, all right? And you can use the methods by which I'm talking about to act as a buffer between that power output of the grid to the input of your house. You could have a device plugged into your house that will make all the appliances that you run cooler and more efficient than they ever did before. You see what I'm saying here? Because
you're filtering out all that unnecessary potential.
That's right. You don't need all that current. It's what I've been trying to tell people. You don't need... The reason why things get hot is because you're demanding too much from the system. You know, those wires, the insulation on those wires can only withstand so much current. All right? That's why there's an amperage rating on your surge protectors, your breaker switches, and all that kind of stuff, because you try to draw too much from that, it will shut itself off before starting a fire in your house. So if you're taking that energy off of that you're needing, and you're moving it around and smoothing it out, and basically allowing that energy to flow freely without all the resistance that it's going to meet, right? There's other ways to do just about everything out there, but right now, when you're pulling that power off of that power grid, the more you ask for that power grid, the faster that meter spins, the more money the power company gets off of you. But if you're bringing that into your house and you're taking that energy, cleaning it up, dispersing it where it needs to go, basically you're making a smart power grid for your home that, you know, puts it where it needs to go, but it does it in the safest, coolest fashion possible. Once anything reaches its thermal breakdown, electrical motors will fail the moment the insulation fails because of thermal breakdown points. Your insulation can only handle so much heat, and then it melts off and basically turns a thousand turn of copper wire into one single turn, which now makes it a dead short, and you got resistive load going on. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do. My favorite thing about your idea is that, well, you don't even really care with the sophistication of trying to make it all perfect timing, because I feel like, you know, the metronome experiment is real, and when you have so many different things oscillating at different frequencies, they come into unison themselves. You know what I'm saying? There's an order. Like, when you put the two metronomes on the table, or three, start to go in unison, it's not because the table's rocking, you know what I'm saying? It's because there's natural order to the timing of the earth, and I think that by having all those frequencies jammed in together, they will filter themselves. There's a randomness to the perfection of it all, in a way.
Well, right now, I turned the camera over there on Twitch back over to the experiment. While this experiment's been running live while we've actually been talking. And so right now my output voltage on the first charge capacitor is 6.24, which is substantially higher than when we started. And the battery voltage on the two nickel metal hydride is getting ready to kick over to 3.91, and the battery voltage on the nickel the 7.2 volt nickel cadmium battery is up to 4.06. So you want to start calculating up efficiency, When it gets timed, I got this all sorted out, nicely cleaned up to where you can see where every single wire is going in this circuitry. I'm going to take photos of this. I'm going to tape all the wires down with clear tape to a panel or a board or something like that, and so that you can see where every single wire goes in this system. That way, if you want to take the time, instead of being a foul-mouthed heathen and telling old crazy Harris that you don't know what he's talking about, you take and get everything exactly what I got, and you replicate it, and then start doing the math on your side of it, and make your own circuit board up. And if you find an improvement, add to that circuit, and you'll make me the happiest camper on the planet. So what the deal is, you'll be able to see where every single thing is. You'll have schematics of every single thing that's on the board, and you'll be able to see real time where how to connect everything up, exactly how I've got it connected up, so that you too can have an amazing efficient system that if you understand what it is that I showed you from start to finish, from the power coming off the grid to that surge protector into that USB charging system that's running the signal generator, that's pulsing the microwave oven transformer, that's sending the high voltage through AC capacitors, through a bridge rectifier, into multiple capacitors, some ran in series, some ran in parallel, and then you have, while under a load, you are charging super capacitors, you're charging batteries, and you have 6.25 at this point right now, getting ready to turn to 6.26 surplus on your output voltage over there. You got 4.07 on the nickel cadmium battery, and you got 3.92 getting ready to change over to 3.92 on the nickel metal hydride battery. You're running all of those, everything that's in this circuit, coming off of that initial 5-volt output off of the grid. So I can unplug this from a doggone power grid and plug it into a DC power source that will run like a USB power. You see what I'm saying? 5-volt USB battery bank would run this entire circuit. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I like it because it's using frequency potential. Anytime I think you're using frequency and not off on correctly, there's just this potential there that once you get the timing correct, if your things are firing correct, if their waves form in unison correct, then in my opinion, even things of 60 hertz AC should be running without inverters or anything, just still run.
Yeah.
And I know that, like I say, that's hard to believe, and maybe it's really not correct, but at the end of the day, it works. So.
If you're just tuning in, folks, jump over there to the Super Chat. I'm actually broadcasting live over on Twitch right now. Now, keep in mind that I'm not sure how the volume is over there, and so it might be really low volume, so you might actually have to crank it up. I got to sort through all the settings and try to maybe get a different microphone in order to be able to make it where you can hear it better over there. But today's just a test to see whether or not that I can push my bandwidth as far as possible. I got Ted here with me. Say hi, Ted.
Hey, y'all.
All right. So I got Ted here with me. He's on Skype. We're broadcasting live video to Twitch while at the same time using Sam Broadcaster to go out to multiple other networks. And so we're trying to see how far we can push the limits of this duct tape and bailing wire. So anyway,
I like the live stream. I think it's a cool addition.
Yeah, hopefully we'll keep this thing going good, and we'll get some people over there watching, and they'll get to share some of this information. Folks, if you understand what it is that I just showed you, you're going to be a happy camper. I'm serious. You know old crazy hair Shazia's, I don't say it unless I can prove it. What you're watching right here.
And I tell you, in my mind, it works with the mathematics of the thermodynamics, and it really does. When you add in ether, like the potential is right there next to the wire, then what do people think is fueling this whole operation here on Earth? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is...
I understand the Big Bang theory, but even then, there, because of an explosion, the amount of ether and the potential is huge. So no matter how you're really looking at it, it's there. That's the way I feel.
The thing about it is, what we're doing right here with just a 5-volt USB output into a signal generator, imagine what you could do if you added a supplementary system, a solar or wind power, because the cool thing about high voltage is it's non-discriminative. It will go anywhere, all right? You can guide it anywhere, and you can have multiple streams of high voltage going into the same power bank. The faster you can charge them doggone capacitors up, the more you can actually run on them real time. You can use static electricity to do this work. You can use wind power, solar power, thermoelectrics, your standard generators, alternators, every single way that you can possibly imagine to generate electricity will work with this process, because what we're using here is voltage. Voltage is what matters. Now, for all those folks out there to keep getting mad at me about current watts and amps, I'm sorry you can't understand what it is that I'm saying to you. But if you take this system and you try it out and you understand from what I'm trying to tell you is, I studied this stuff inside and out. I understand the laws of physics. I understand about current watts and amps and all that stuff. I understand what it requires to run the inefficient systems that we got. And I don't want to sit here and fight over terminology like over unity or zero point or even free energy for that matter. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough, period. Regardless of all that, if you're going to be using any type of energy and you want to get the best bang for your buck, so to speak, then you need to understand efficiency. Once you understand efficiency, the things that you can achieve by understanding the physics of how that energy is actually moving to begin with will save you a whole lot of headache, and it'll save you a whole lot of money. If you're into building an alternative energy device that you want to be like a self-looping device, I'm not saying it ain't possible. What I am saying that if you're going to try to do this thing, you need to understand where every potential loss is. You need to understand how the energy is moving from point A to point B. And then when you figure that out, and you figure out what I just showed you right here, if you got a surplus of power, you got a real-time load on demand. Right now, you're seeing a real-time on-demand load. Each one of these circuits, even the ones that aren't lit up at this point because they haven't reached their maximum voltage yet, are still adding resistance, which are basically part of the equation of the load from the output of that signal generator, which initially is the load from the output of the USB charger that is plugged into the wall. And so I'm taking and dropping the voltage way down, I'm ramping it way up, I'm using that voltage to pressurize capacitors, and I'm getting stored energy on demand. What do you think, Ted?
Well, you know, I'm trying to be supportive, you know.
Well, yeah, but I'm just excited, all right? I'm excited because, for one, when I'm done with this whole deal, all these people who basically gave me a rash all the time, when I was trying to tell them something all along, I just didn't have the proper terminology to make them happy. And when I kept saying things like I don't care about current watts and amps, and that really frustrated them because they can't get their head past the mathematics, or they can't get their head past the, you know, how the standard conventional method of using energy states that things have to be done. The laws of physics aren't written in stone, all right? And so with that said, even though they have worked for all this time, they have worked on an inefficient system. So when it's all said and done and you learn how to pull that energy at a different rate, right now I'm doing it at 600 hertz with a square wave. You use 60 hertz with a sine wave for your standard energy. Am I wrong? Yeah? No?
I mean, I don't really know how to use an oscilloscope for this. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said I did.
Well, anyway, the standard hertz is a sine wave. It's a cleaner, supposedly a cleaner wave. Alright, square wave is a sawtooth wave. Alright, it's kind of redneckish, rugged.
Like inverter stuff.
Yeah, but my ultimate goal is to allow this energy to go freely. Scotty Sovereign said, I'm seeing a static picture on Twitch TV thing, Shaz. So it's probably giving the run over there. I can see it on the deal. It's kind of blurry at the point. I got to work on some adjustments. I got to get some good focus and stuff going in everything. I did get a better camera. I just got to learn how to use it more, and I got to get the microphone sorted out. So with that said, like I said, for anybody who's just tuning in, if you want to see something, we're trying to do an experiment to see if we can broadcast live video at the same time while broadcasting the radio show. So there's a link to Twitch TV over there at Shaziz Radio in the Super Chat room. So anyway, right now it's getting ready to kick over to 6.30 volts on the main output. Keep in mind, all these voltages are while this thing is under a load, from 5 volts out input to the signal generator to 9 volts give or take from the output of the deal. You factor in all the losses that would have been in the system, any energy that's being used by any of the circuitry, including the blinking LED, resistance of the battery. Some of that charge is actually going into the batteries. And you might be amazed at the final outcome of your math that you got going on. So with that said, if
you... Video looks good to me.
Huh?
Video looks good over here.
Cool. So, if you understand what it is that I just showed you folks, we're going for super efficiency. We're going to see how far that we can push that 5 volt output from that USB charger. We're going to see how much efficiency we can get off a 5 volt output from the USB charger to the output to the signal generator, being what they say 9 volts. If it's not under load, that output signal generator put out about 9 volt signal, and right now we're running it at 600 hertz of the square wave. And we're doing pretty good, because as we're talking, it's still going up, and that's a plus. So even if it's pumping up slowly, Ted, that's what my redneck hot tub was meant to show people. You see what I mean? The redneck...
Well, yeah, I mean, experimentation is what we're talking about. Observation is what, is the purpose. So, keep rolling.
See, the redneck hot tub to most folks was just a creative idea by some crazy old redneck to have a hot tub. But there was a method to my madness when I did that, because I've been trying to figure out ways to explain to people how energy is actually traveling. Now, once you get something up to its operating temperature or voltage, then it doesn't take nothing to maintain it. You keep a steady flow of energy moving forward, that hot water will stay hot. You keep a steady electric flow going forward, those capacitors and batteries will stay charged up, and so on down the line. And even to the extent, if you're running an electric fan, there are methods by which you can recuperate any what would have been a loss from that system as well, if you wanted to take it that far. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you look at water and you're trying to explain inputs into a system, I mean, where does condensation come in?
Condensation? Well, that's how you get fresh water. That's why, people were sitting there talking about how would we get fresh water to third world countries that were, they don't have, ways to make water. Well, if you understand the laws of physics, you can take any two temperature differences and you can pull water right out of the doggone air.
Well, right. And to get condensation to to form, you basically need, you know, two different temperatures close together.
That's right.
But what do you need? You couldn't do that out in like space. You need the atmosphere.
Well, out in space, I wouldn't say that would be a good spot at all. You got a vacuum going on, so that's part of physics. But what I'm saying is, if you're in a humid climate,
right,
then you got a, if you got an old dehumidifier, or make a food grade version of a dehumidifier so that it's not collecting dust, you can pull water right out of the air, because there's hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen and other things in the atmosphere. And so if you got any temperature difference, you can pull water right out of the air, and it's fresh water.
Now, you see what I'm trying to say is, apply that to the theory of water principle with electricity.
Yep.
You can pull electricity right out of the air, but you need the same thing as making condensation. You need two different extreme values very close to each other.
Well, not necessarily, because you can get static energy out of the air, because while you're every little molecule's out there, I think I heard it said one time that all the molecules that are in the air that we're in right now is moving like 900 miles an hour. It's banging into each other, producing friction, which is building up a static charge and changing electrons and all that kind of stuff. So that's why in certain times of the year, you got a dry air climate, cold air, or whatever, you'll build up a static charge in your house really fast during the winter time. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like you're rubbing your feet on the carpet, or
whenever you get natural gas or something, like even fuel up towards a 99% efficiency where you can't go any farther, what's your output? Water.
Yep.
It's because it's the same thing. Like, so you don't necessarily, like you're saying, you could look at it like static, or you could look at it like an event where everything is used up, so what happens, more comes in. Just like when we try to reach 100% efficiency and we're left with water. And so, like, it's right there is the idea. Is like, the ether is all around us. The electricity, as much as you want, is right there. You can form it with static by rubbing those two fields close to each other, or you can smash them into each other.
Yeah.
And you get as much electricity as you want when you smash those two fields together. Just the principle of the way everything else works.
Well, we got...
Like, you know, there's one thing people don't really talk about Einstein very much anymore, but, you know, Einstein said, you know, distance and duration. Everything else is just a factor of that.
Yeah.
And there's some truth to that. Because if you think about distance and duration, you're really talking about, like, the way that everything really is a frequency. And then it goes beyond. Then once distance and duration come into play, all those other factors create themselves based upon that.
Yep.
So the simplicity of working with, you know, application or whatever to make processes that gather electricity like you're trying to do is completely feasible, and a lot of people have done it, and I'm surprised that more people aren't sharing it, to be honest.
Alright, so I'm going to turn my camera back around and address the audience again. I'm sitting up here like an old grasshopper. I've got my feet up off the floor because it's kind of cool on the floor right now. How's it going, everybody out there? If you just showed up on Twitch, click up there on that follow button and follow me, so that if I show up out here, you'll know whenever I'm on live. Because what I'm trying to show everybody is a better way, a super efficient way to use electricity. Now, everybody would like to have no electric bill, but if you have to have an electric bill, you might as well be able to have the smallest electric bill possible. And so if I show you this process right here, and when it's all said and done, I can provide you with a picture of how everything's laid out in a nice, orderly fashion. You can replicate this in your own lab, and you can try it out. Every theory, everything that I'm saying is based off of physics, it's based off of science, it's based off of how energy actually travels. There's been years and years worth of research going into what I'm trying to share with everybody. So, if you pay attention to what I got going on right here, and you understand the implications of what you could actually do with this particular, method, number one, you're going to be able to do it on your own terms. You don't have to be filthy, stinking rich in order to be able to replicate what it is that I'm trying to show you. And any energy that you're buying from the power company, once it gets under your house, it's your energy. It doesn't belong to them anymore. All right? And so if you take that energy that comes into your house and you clean it up and you use it, right now I'm pulsing with a DDS signal generator, 600 hertz a square wave. All right? Now that's not going to run your house. All right, but what it is going to do is provide you a surplus and allow a system that you put together to act as a buffer between you and the power grid. If the power grid doesn't have to work hard, then the power grid doesn't charge you a lot of money. See what I'm saying there, Ted? And you're not stealing electricity. You're paying for every single bit that you're using. All right? You're doing it the fair way. You bought the electricity. You cleaned the electricity up. You dispersed it throughout your house where it's needed. And you ran, loads that, efficiencies such as the difference between an incandescent bulb, which is a resistive light bulb, light source, fluorescent lighting system, which is a little bit more efficient, all the way down to modern day LED systems. And before it's all said and done, I will show you how to do a plasma bulb where you can get really nice light and with a really little input. The least amount of input possible means that you're not paying so much to the power grid anymore. And so with that said, when they told you, they said it to you, right? They didn't say it they said it to everybody. They said, reduce your carbon footprint. Did that sound familiar? Did they not say that, Ted?
I mean, it's always a good idea to be mindful of your effect on your surroundings.
All right, but listen, that's what they said, right?
No, I mean, yeah, I see.
So,
it.
If we reduce our carbon footprint, hold on, I gotta get both air quotes on the camera there. Reduce our carbon footprint. So, if you reduce your carbon footprint, then that's supposed to make the government happy because, and it'll make the environmentalist happy. You're going to be using energy in a more efficient manner, which ain't going to make the power company happy because that means they're not going to make near the amount of money that they did before. However, by using the method that I just showed you right here, this is just one way. And I got many more that I'm going to show you because I studied every doggone thing under the sun that had to do with how energy travels. And there's many, many ways, really super efficient methods by which to use the energy in the most efficient manner. This includes if you're running your own home generator system by using the energy differently than the conventional, in an unconventional manner, not the norm. They call solar panels unconventional, wind power unconventional, so on down the line. So with this information here, using your energy in a completely different fashion, saving yourself some money, taking this knowledge and adding to it, you can build yourself a smart power system for your house to benefit you to the extent where your appliances are going to last longer. They're not going to get hot because you're not going to be demanding too much of them. You're not going to be cramming energy in, trying to force it all down the doggone electric motor's throat. You find out what the least amount of energy that your reciprocating fans can run on, and then you take it from there. So every bit of efficiency that you can make inside your house, including unplugging things that you're not using, will save you more money in the whole deal. So basically, I'm going to keep doing this live stream. And so far, it looks like we're doing all right. I'm broadcasting over here on Sam out to the networks, the radio networks. We have now a Twitch TV live stream. And so once I get the microphone thing situated on that, you'll be able to hear me better. And when I learn how to focus this little gizmo right here, that thing there, that. When I learn how to focus that better, or get a cameraman, then I can sit here and empty my brain out into your guys' brains and your gals' brains and everybody's brains and basically share everything that I've been trying to share for a long time. So what I hope to achieve out of this deal with this experiment right now, we're up to 6.35 volts and on the main output we're coming up on 4 volts on the nickel metal hydride 9 volts, the two 9 volt nickel metal hydride batteries running series with one of the car audio amplifiers capacitors. And those two car audio amplifier capacitors are run in parallel with each other, which in turn are ran in series with the negative output of the bridge rectifier and the negative input of the first charge capacitor, which is now setting at 6.35 volts. The nickel cadmium, 7.2 nickel cadmium battery is also ran in series with the negative output of the bridge rectifier and the negative input of the charge capacitor. And with that said, there is a bank of 20 supercapacitors that are ran in parallel with the output of the bridge rectifier. So they all have their purpose. All the different types of capacitors have their purpose, such as an AC capacitor is for a run capacitor. It's to smooth it out, right? Well, you also have start capacitors that are basically designed to give it a punch, you know, to give it more power on the input to start your electric motors and your compressors and such. Normally, you're not supposed to leave a run capacitor or a start capacitor in the circuit because it's not meant for long durations of runtime. However, by using this method here, it's not even going to be an issue because you're not pushing too much current through these things. Let me get a drink of my coffee here. So, you have DC capacitors, just your average DC electrolytic capacitors, which are basically acting like the AC run capacitors, but acting more like a battery. Now, you have the new supercapacitors, which have more capacity, lower voltages, but higher current, and so you use the same process to transfer energy from the supercapacitor into the run capacitor, which is the DC side, and then down into your loads. And so when all these voltages, including the battery, finally make it up to high enough to kick it on, these circuits will come on as the voltage allows. So when you finally level your voltage out, then you'll know what your maximum amount of draw would be off of that signal generator. Right now we're setting at 6.36 volts. Alright, it'll have to get somewhere up around about 7 volts before the actual circuitry in the 5,000 microfarad car audio capacitors, it'll have to get up to around about 7 volts before that circuitry will start kicking on. And the first one in line will kick on, that's the one on the left, and then the second one in line will kick on, that's the one on the right. Well, while all this is going on, while those batteries are running series with this system, while everything's slowly rising up, they're storing the charge. You're storing charge chemically in the nickel metal hydride. They're storing the charge chemically in the nickel cadmium. They're storing the charge statically in all the capacitors, including the supercapacitors, which have more capacity as far as how much voltage that you can store at any given time. And so by pulling the power from the power grid like I'm doing, I'm using it incredibly efficient because all I need to demand from that surge protector that's in that circuit is that 5-volt USB charger. So essentially, I need a 5-volt power supply, which I could do the same exact thing with a 5-volt battery source. So all I got to do is come up with 5 volts. And then I can take that 5 volts and I can use the circuitry in the signal generator to ramp that voltage up. This is why, folks, that I keep telling everybody, I do not care about current watts and amps. I know that makes people mad. And I'm sorry that it's making you angry, but I'm trying to show everyone how to use energy in a different fashion than they ever did before, in an unconventional sense that may one day become a conventional way of using energy. Alright, because you're demanding too much from your generator, so that you're causing them to get hot. When they reach the thermal breakdown, they will fail. I don't want your equipment to fail. I don't want your electronics to fail. So I'm showing you a different way of all the time that these things have been running. You can feel that transformer. It is cold to the touch. You can feel all the doggone bridge rectifier. It is cold to the touch. If you tried to run amperage wattage through that transformer, you would develop eddy currents, you would develop heat, and that doggone transformer at a certain point when the insulation on those windings finally begin to break down because of the temperature, they will fail. And then, there you go. You got to buy a new microwave oven, or you got to buy a new appliance, or whatever it is that you are running. So with that said, once this system's all in place, once I've reached the maximum amount of efficiency that I believe that I can get out of this thing, I'm going to make a lot of pictures. I'm going to put it out on a board, and I'm going to, with clear tape, trace out all the wires so you can see exactly how and where everything goes. I'm going to make it as easily understandable as possible. All right? And when it's all said and done, I'm going to bring some friends in here that's going to help me put some schematics down so that the schematics themselves will be easily understandable. You could take this piece of paper to your local electronics guy and have him build you a circuit board. Then you can turn around, take that circuit board, plug it into any outlet, any existing generator, and start pulling that power off in the most efficient manner possible. If you can make it on any scale, you can scale it up and you can scale it down to meet your needs, which means that when this project's all finally completed, that you will be able to reduce the amount of carbon footprint. And at the same time, watch your doggone light bill go drastically down because now you're not demanding so much from the power grid. And for those people out there that are creative, working on alternative energy devices, when you incorporate this into your design, you will have a surplus of power, and what you do with that surplus of power is up to you from that point. All right? I hope that everybody understands what it is old Crazy Harris is trying to share with you. Alright, this is every bit of videos that I put out there. I've got something important in. As crazy as they may seem at any given time, if you've stayed with me all this time and watched these videos, you by now you're pretty smart about what's happening here. Alright? This is what I want. This is what I want for the world. I want peace, hope, and love for the world. I want people to be able to live in perfect harmony. I want them to be able to live in perfect harmony with nature. And if you've got energy needs, if you need to be cool, you can do it. All right? If you need to be warm, you can do it. If you need fresh water, you got it. Everything's going to be covered in this entire deal. Because once you pay attention to what's going on here, once you start paying attention to nature, what nature has to teach you, you'll be amazed at what you can do. This doesn't even scratch the surface, folks. What you're capable of is so much more than what you believe. And the day that we all decide that we're going to start working in perfect harmony with one another, nature, these terminologies that you hear about homelessness, and starvation, wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence, that's going to be something that somebody would be saying, I can't believe there was ever a day like that. That's my ultimate goal. That's where my heart is. That's why I do what it is that I do. I hope that if you're watching out there on Twitch, I hope you can hear me. And I will get the bugs worked out. I'll get the microphone sorted if I have to buy a new microphone or whatever. Get the camera all in focus, and I hope you stick with me. You know, there's a deal you can follow me here on Twitch. I'm trying to help the world out. I'm trying to show the world how to use energy in a completely different manner than we're accustomed to, in a more efficient, more environmentally friendly way. And I'm just trying to do a good thing here. Right now we're sitting at 6.39 volts on our output on the first charge capacitor. We're up to 5.04 and rising on the nickel metal hydrides, and we're at 4.17 on the nickel cadmium battery. Now, what I want you to really take notice to, folks, is this is all happening while under a load. This is all happening real time. And this is all happening with one single high voltage power source. Alright? Voltage. Not high current. Not high wattage. Voltage. When you get that, and you understand that this is just one, you can duplicate these circuits and you can send multiple streams into the same power bank simultaneously to give you enough power to run all the hogs you want. If you want to make this thing incredibly efficient, then you got to start re-engineering your appliances, which there's ways to do that, that if I live long enough, I'll show the world how to do that as well. Right now, my main goal is to show you there is a different way to use what we've been using all along. And it's everything you see on that shelf is off the store shelf, using existing technology, using their laws of physics, their science. It is what it is, folks. So I'm going to turn this camera back around for a bit. There is the wall adapter. It's a USB charger running into a DDS signal generator, about $60 on the deal, a recycled microwave oven transformer. I got two AC run capacitors, 1,000 volt to 100 amp bridge rectifier. I got a DC output capacitor and a smaller set of DC output capacitors. I got a little boost converter circuit, and I have 20 super capacitors, and all of these things that you can get right straight off of the store shelf. What I'm trying to show you here, and I hope to accomplish, is to show you the maximum amount of efficiency that I can do with what I've got going on just here alone. After that, where we take this is all up to us. We can take it to the extreme and make our world so incredibly efficient that you don't have to keep wasting things. Your electric motors, your TVs, your computers, all of them have a lifespan on them the moment you get them, because eventually when you use them constantly, because of the way that we're using our power, the thermal breakdown point will be reached. And once you reach that thermal breakdown point, things will begin to fail and you'll have to buy more. There are ways to run resistive loads without using resistance to do so. There are ways to run just about every single appliance out of there out of with a whole lot less input. What I've showed you here today is working off of 5 volts, and everything that you see on the voltmeter is a surplus. That is energy that is not being used by the circuitry. Whatever is not being used by the circuitry is showing up on those boards. So I got 6.40 Getting ready to go up to 6.41 on my output from my bridge rectifier to the DC side. I've got 4.03 on the two 9-volt nickel metal hydrides, and I got 4.18 on the nickel cadmium 7.2 nickel cadmium battery. Those aren't fully charged yet. It takes a long time to charge them by this method because I'm only using one stream of high voltage. But the key to this whole deal is while it's under a load, it is still going up. When it finally reaches its maximum where it can't go any farther up because it's draining too much power, the system will tell me when the maximum is, which will also tell me what I need to do to the system to improve the efficiency from that point. I will be able to find the weakest spot of the system and add whatever necessary to that capacitor or to that system so that we can make it more efficient. So what I'm ultimately saying to everybody out there is that if you reach a maximum efficiency, when you're running your gasoline generators or your diesel generators, you're going to get as much power out as that generator is capable of using. You're going to make your generator not have to work hard to get that power out. You're going to reduce the amount of fuel consumption because the harder the generator has to work, the more fuel you're going to use, which is going to make the entire system cooler, and it's going to make it more efficient. Now, every internal combustion engine is going to produce heat, even if it is running super efficient because of its engineered design. If you take this concept of what I just explained to everybody, and you take and transfer the heat away from that engine, you have another energy source that is no longer a loss. So now your generator is efficient because of the way that you're pulling the power, and it's even more efficient because you are recovering what would have otherwise been a loss into the atmosphere from the heat that is generated by the motor itself. So from that point on, if you're actually going to be buying electricity from the power grid, then you bring the power in, you clean that energy up, you use it in under your terms and in the most efficient manner, and you will pay less of a electric bill at the end of every month. If you are going to be completely off the power grid, whatever you have solar power wise, whatever you have wind power wise, you will be using in the most efficient manner possible. Therefore, you will get a better bang for your buck, so to speak. So what do you think, Ted? You got any thoughts on the matter now?
Well, I mean, just taking it all in, you know, it sounds like a beautiful concept. I'm excited that you're going to be doing this. To be honest, it sounds like a beautiful project to share with everybody.
Well, Ted, you inspired me by saying, if you have it, show it. Do you remember saying that to me?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I'm trying to show it to you, brother.
Well, I appreciate you. You know, I mean, I didn't mean that as a challenge.
I know your intentions were good with it. You basically... Basically, to the extent that I'm going to help the world out by showing them out, showing them what it is I'm talking about. This isn't my only project.
Yeah.
This isn't my only project, but this is the simplest one of my many projects that I can get out there now to at least increase the efficiency. That way, by the time it's all said and done, and I get the other, which were a little bit more complicated to explain, they will already understand how it works. You see what I'm saying?
I do. And, you know, I truly feel like a lot of people take for granted what just a little bit of power can do when you don't have any lights and you don't have a cell phone, and then you do have a little battery charger that can power a few lights in a cell phone, I mean, it could really mean the difference of a life and death situation for people in a natural disaster or any kind of event scenario where, you know, times are tough. You know, I don't think people should take that kind of thing for granted.
Well,
because somebody that's on like a little ventilator or something, if the power goes out for a long time and they need to do a brief.
Hold on, I lost you there, Ted. What happened?
Well, I'm here.
Oh, okay, there you are. What was you saying?
I was just saying that, like, you know, in an event where there's like a power outage and, you know, your neighbor, their kid needs a ventilator treatment every couple hours and they, you know, their battery run down or something and you know how to charge it, it could really even mean the difference between life and death for somebody. And I don't think people truly grasp that concept because everybody's looking for current watts and amps and not really understanding that to keep one deep cycle marine battery can keep a family alive.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
And that is a plus about this system, because when this system's already put together and people are out there manufacturing circuit boards and putting them in nifty little boxes, you'll be able to put this in between that battery and the load and get the best efficiency out of that, making that battery last a whole lot longer than it would have otherwise. You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
Getting longevity out of your batteries. So if you're running a massive solar panel setup or wind generator or a combination of it, and your batteries are getting hot, then you're doing it wrong because you're demanding too much from those batteries. You put something between those batteries as a buffer and make it so that those batteries don't have to work hard, and you take that energy and use it in the most efficient manner, then you will benefit by not having to replace your batteries. The thing about supercapacitors is they've got a massive cycle in the millions of cycles, so they'll last and last and last and last. And even regular capacitors, same exact concept. One of them will charge and discharge rapidly. One of them has a lot more storage area. But both of them together in conjunction with each other have a dual purpose of basically helping you move that energy where you need it on demand, where you can then in turn reduce your power input and maximize your power output for the least amount from start to finish. You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm hoping that people understand by what it is that I'm showing them.
Right, and you know, like you say, it's not your only project. There's quite a few people on the internet showing little motors and little things that will run a little load and charge a battery.
Yeah.
And I don't think that people really, like I say, I mean, not to always be negative, but I don't think we're really seeing the potential there of just what a little battery charger could be. You know what I'm saying to someone?
Oh yeah.
I think it's important, like if people are looking at things like in a negative point of view where, you know, you feel like, well, what's the point of like a 5-volt square wave? And it's like, well, if a 5-volt square wave starts charging your batteries for you, then, you know, then it's really very powerful, actually. I mean,
oh yeah,
a lot of energy
the whole world thing
goes into charging batteries. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of, short of like, you know, all the power that goes into to make, you know, manufacture electricity and power plants, is like a lot of electricity that people generate in theory goes to batteries.
Well, you know, if the power company is doing this, then maybe they're making a lot of money because they understand what it is that I just showed you.
Well,
that transformer out there on the pole has a dual purpose. Alright, and they're using that transformer as a buffer between them and you. That transformer is a step down transformer. The voltage that they're sending down the power line is at a high voltage, high frequency, so that it can get out there further and get to more people at the same exact time and be able to run your house on demand. That transformer is also a storage device.
I mean, just based upon the wire dimensions, you can pretty much rule out if there's, like, real current going on in those lines, because current, you know, those lines are fairly small considering the distances they run. I mean, it truly is, like, a, you know, 14,400, you know, Hertz frequency.
Don't get me wrong, those power lines, they'll kill you. They got a lot of voltage going through there. Those power lines are dangerous. But the thing about it is, you can take a wireless AC tester and stand 30, 40 feet away from that thing and hold it up like you're holding towards the power line and walk towards it, and you will see how far that magnetic field actually extends out past that power line. That's wasted energy. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so with that said, while they're out there wasting energy, there are methods by which you can couple into that field.
I think that they consider that illegal.
Now, if they got an easement and that doggone field extends past that easement, anything that's on your side of the fence is yours, right?
Well, I've heard that if part of the agreement is that if anything you're doing disrupts the feed, like, that's why they send the helicopter over every once in a while, is because they, like, read it out. So they can, what I'm understanding is it doesn't actually draw on their system, but they can see if you're in the, and they can try to consider that some type of obstruction. You know what I mean? As part of your easement, you have to keep it free of any obstructions that would, like, tamper with the magnetic field.
Do you
see
got,
what I mean?
Do you got aluminum siding on your house?
No, I don't. I got a barn with some aluminum siding.
Is it anywhere near that power line?
It's, like, probably less than 20 feet from it.
Yeah, well, 20 feet's within the 30 to 40 foot range of that power line. So with that said, your shed is being obstructed by their magnetic field. So,
well, I understand what you're saying. There's always two ways to look at everything.
Tesla has a radiant energy patent out there. Go take a peek at it. Imagine if that shed wasn't insulated to the ground. All right? Imagine if that shed was 3 feet off the ground. What's the equation for how many feet or how many meters off the ground the voltage actually increases as you go up, the higher you go up? So,
well, I forget what.
It's 100, like, so many volts. It's 100 volts.
It's for 100, how many feet?
Huh? Per 3 feet how or per feet? Meter?
Wow.
Per yard or per meter? Can't remember which one's longer, a yard or a meter. One's slightly longer than the other, I think. Anyway, in that range, it's about 100 volts according to the equation of the energy that's actually in the air. So that's how the atmospheric group or the, what they call that, anyway, it's atmospheric group. We had some links to the deal, but they're pulling static electricity right out of the air, and they're charging capacitor banks with it. So, where there's a will, there's a way. They fly by, they see your shed there, they fly by again, your shed's sitting up a little higher than normal, but it looks like
the regular distribution lines, they don't fly by, it's the longer one.
Yeah.
Higher voltage.
You don't even got to get close to it, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm listening to you. I'll just share with you some things I've heard from some old farmers that have, like, created, like, what you might call, like, a copper fence pretty close to the lines.
Yeah.
So they start, you know, some pretty interesting applications off of. And then the official news from the company is, like, whatever you're doing is obstructing our field, and you have to see some, basically a cease and desist order. And, you know, just to not complicate things, I think they went ahead and cease and desisted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so, I know exactly what you're saying. It's out there. I mean, there's been numerous farmers that have just been working with their electric fence near some of them higher voltage lines, easements, and they've gotten blown away or just taken a hell of a hit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
When the conditions are correct and you're grounded out and you're next to a long enough piece of wire that's, you know, right up in that field, it can be some pretty interesting things.
So, basically, what I've talked about here today is try to explain how we can increase the efficiency. What you're seeing on Twitch is an experiment in making something as incredibly efficient as possible. We're at 6.45 volts on the main charge capacitor. We're at 4.04 on the nickel metal hydride, 9 volts. There's two of those in series with one of the stereoaudio capacitors, which those two are ran in parallel with each other. And there are there's 4.21 on the 7.2 nickel cadmium battery that is run in series with the output of the negative on the bridge rectifier and the output or the input on the negative of the first charge capacitor. So there's a whole lot of series and parallel coming around here. So what's that mean? That means we're guiding the energy where we want it to go, not directly into the load, which is going to cause a lot of resistance, because the higher the pressure gets in the battery, the harder it is to push energy into it. So the standard method of how we actually charge batteries is being done unconventionally here. The only source that is actually charging direct is the supercapacitors, which are running in parallel with the output of the bridge rectifier. And the purpose for that is because those aren't going to meet the resistance like they would if you were trying to charge them up via current. They are being charged slowly by voltage. That is the voltage that you see slowly rising on the charge capacitor. And that energy, once it's inside that bank of those 20 supercapacitors you see off to the very left, those are ran in series with each other. There's 10 banks at 11 volts apiece, all ran in parallel with each other. 20 capacitor banks all together. If you divide them all up, it's like 40 supercapacitors all in one deal. But either way, each one of those rows of supercapacitors is 11 volts. All right, they're two 5.5 volt supercapacitors run in series with each other to equal up to 11 volts. So until those supercapacitors get all the way up to 11 volts, then there's no issue right there. But in the meantime, everything that you see charging here right now is running real time while under a load. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so basically I want to keep Twitch going and I want to keep the live stream going, but I also got to go make a nature break. Ted, do you got anything to talk about for a couple minutes?
Not especially.
I was listening to you talk.
I wanted you to take over the radio show for a minute. Otherwise, I got to shut down Twitch and put on a music break. So
I'll tell everybody for a minute or two why I think we don't study the ether publicly.
All right, that's cool. He's going to talk to you about ether, and I'm going to go take a nature break and refresh my coffee, folks. You're listening to Mad Science. Thank you, Ted. It's all yours.
Okay.
Well, everybody. Shazazi put me on here to talk to y'all, so I'll do my best to share with you why I think Maxwell's equations have been basically simplified down and taken out the ether. And I believe that's important because the ether is something that connects all living beings on the planet together, and it's something that unless we were to leave, you know, the Van Allen belt, we're not going to get away from it. So it's something that's here, and I think we should study it. And I think it is being studied, but it's considered like a metaphysical or quantum pseudoscience. And then people that take it seriously, I feel like, don't really share it publicly for a lot of reasons. And I think that's because the ether reveals some type of a connection or consciousness that it's like an electrical field that bonds all of humanity together, all living beings.
And it's an energy force that a lot of different scientists have been studying from in different ways, but it's such a subtle energy. In some ways it's subtle. And then there's so many scientists that have studied it and created large amounts of electricity by means of ways that the people studying them couldn't really prove with mathematics, so they had a hard time accepting that they were real and left them to be just considered novelty devices that nobody could explain. So I think that with the idea of the more subtle energies, people have been looking at things like connecting plants to the EEG, the brain waves, and doing different tests with people and events around plants and seeing changes in, I guess, their brain waves or in the brain wave spectrum, EEG. And so I think when people are starting to touch into that level of frequency and voltage, they're getting real close to where the ether exists and what connects us all together. And that's why those experiments are out there, and there's been books written on them since the 70s, and some people call it quackery, and some people say it's legitimate.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there talk about quackery, man. But there's a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye, ain't there?
Oh, my. Oh, my. For sure.
All right, so I'm back. So,
welcome back.
You're going to be a good radio DJ one day there, Ted.
Yeah, I mean, radio, it's free nowadays. I'm surprised more people aren't radio DJs because of the fact that we don't even have to pump megahertz frequencies into the local airwaves with a bunch of kilowatts to try to reach people on radios. Everybody's connected with all this 4G, whatever, internet everywhere, so might as well take advantage of it. And I like the idea. I mean, music is such a beautiful thing, and the music that's played on the radios around here is such, you know, disposable kind of garbage that, you know, it would be even beneficial for more people to open radio, play music. I mean, get licensing. I'm not sure how the licensing works, though. I'm not sure if it's real difficult to play music or not.
Well, I would say go out and get all these individuals out there who write their own music and aren't signed to a deal and air their music for them.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking of Earth, Wind, and Fire, but, you know, they probably don't own their music, so I can't reach out to them.
Well, there's
I could, I guess. Maybe they want to do a fresh album.
There's a lot of new... There's a lot of new fresh talent out there that are up and coming that just don't have a chance to be heard, and so you give them a place. Shaziz Radio is one of those places, so if you got a band out there that you want to be heard, send them my way. Throw an MP3 over there, and I'll throw it on there and play it for them on the radio show. So if you got your own band.
I know there's a lot of good hippie fan bands around here.
Well, if they want their music played, it's the place to do it.
You like hippie jam band music? Some people really despise it.
Well, as long as it ain't the F and this and F and that music.
No, it's psychedelic rock.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I just don't want all the foul-mouthed heathenism. We're trying to run a family-friendly show over here.
But there was a guy in the parking lot selling his rap albums down at the Sheets gas station the other day, and I got one off of him and assured him. He was like, yeah, man, this is some, like, peace music, you know, bring everybody together or whatever. I was like, oh, great, yeah, here's some money for a t-shirt and a CD or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I put it in my video, and it's like the most, it's horrible. Because, I mean, it was all about selling drugs and run train and all kinds of that. I was just like, unbelievable. I just got had.
Man.
This guy called me. Oh, like some Peace and Love album reunited. Like it was some kind of Michael Jackson Bring the World album together. And I put it in, it was like some serious heavy.
Yeah, that's sad that society come to that, man. But you're right.
Well, I think so. I'm like, why don't you just put a Unity album out? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the deal? Like, put a Unity album out if you know it's going to sell in this. Why sell this to me? Because I don't want it. And, like, in fact,
if somebody's got talent to play music, you know, why not try to be the best that they can be and play it to, you know, everybody? Not I don't know where they finally think that it's like entertainment for, you know, all the foul mouthing and stuff like that.
I don't know. I'm going to look up his MyFace account or whatever, his Facebook, and, you know, be like, you know, bro, what's going on here with this Unity album? Cause
yeah, that ain't Unity. Anyway, back to Mad Science. We're at 6.48 on the first output charging capacitor. We're at 4.23 on the nickel, 7.2 nickel cadmium battery, and at 4.09 on the two nickel metal hydride batteries. And it's working its way up to 410. So, like I said, there's only one high voltage power source charging these capacitors at one time. So that's the amount of pressure that I got to work with. So it takes a little bit longer to charge that way. But the key about this whole deal that you've been seeing is the fact that it is still slowly, steadily rising while under a load. What do you think?
I love it.
So with that said, we can get more efficient machineries. So let me look at my show notes and see what it is that I have talked about and what I haven't talked about. I think I talked about a lot. I talked about super caps. Played a podcast of what was important about super caps, how they can last a really long time and they can withstand a lot more than your average battery can. Your lead acid batteries, you don't have to throw them away. You could actually recycle them and, you know, get rid of the battery acid itself, flush them things out, switch over to a pickling salt and distilled water mix and still have that same battery be able to run like a battery. And even if those batteries are bone dry, if you understand about static electricity, you can still use those batteries as a capacitor. So there ain't no such thing as waste in the system that I'm talking about. Everything gets used and reused and repurposed and all that kind of stuff. And everything that I've showed you here on this table right here, this is all off the store shelf stuff. Things that you can buy fairly reasonable on eBay. eBay's pretty amazing, man. You can find all kinds of stuff on eBay. What do you think about that?
I'll be back.
So anyway, right now we're broadcasting live on Shaziz Radio and over there to People for People Radio Network. If you want to go over to People for People and say hi to them, there's a banner ad right underneath the Super Chat chat rooms. Click on that link over there and go tell them that crazy mad haired guy sent you over here. And let's see, what else? Oh yeah, if you're into alternative research and you want to look into a lot more stuff, Stephen Givens had put a, if you go into the Super Chat room, right above the link to Shaziz on Twitch TV, which we're broadcasting live to right now, Stephen's resource page, he's compiled a list of all kinds of researchers, all kinds of alternative energy stuff, and if you're interested in all that kind of stuff, go out there and take a peek at it, and send Stephen a note in a deal telling you appreciate him as well. So, are you still there, Ted?
Sir.
I saw something click or blink over here on the deal. I don't know what that was, but let me look over here on Twitch and see. Looks like we're still going over there. Still see a little blinking LED. So anyway, I'll turn it back around to the old grasshopper dude again. I look like an old grasshopper, man. Wild-haired grasshopper. I'm sitting up in my chair with my feet up in the chair. Do 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 do. All right, hi out there. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
People don't like Tom Barrington because they or at least they hate on him because of all of his theory of radionics and all that. But Tom Barrington's got some real good. He really is a good way of looking at the mathematics behind the energy.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that all these researchers out here. Look, granted, there's some researchers out there that's got a really massive ego and they don't really work well together with each other. But even those folks would have, you know, some advantages by, you know, at least hearing what I got to say about the type of method that I'm using to, you know, extract this energy and use it in a different fashion. If they understood what it is that I'm saying to them, they might have the mathematics to explain it, or even the terminology to explain it, so that you know, people of their degree could actually understand. But I'm trying to do this in a simple fashion so that everyone can understand exactly what it is that I'm saying.
You ever listened to his lectures, then?
Oh yeah, I've listened to a lot of Tom Bearden. I listened to a lot of different people like Joseph Newman and oh doggone it, who was that other guy? There's so many alternative energy researchers out there, but all the name brands that you can think of, they've been part of my research. I've looked at Bedini's work, and of course, obviously Tesla, and you know, guys like that. And there's just a bunch of them. There's actually some that aren't even alive anymore, you know, like Tesla, that, you know, or Bedini, because he didn't fare so well, you know, with the world, him and his brother, unfortunately, because he was a brilliant individual. And Stan Myers, you know, for all those folks that led the way down to alternative energy, you know, we need to have a day where we celebrate those guys, because they're the ones that actually helped me to get all the information gathered up and to look at it with, you know, my mechanical mindset of how things are working, to be able to try to explain it to you in simple terminology what's going on. But there's a lot of researchers that led the way. Some of them didn't get rich. Some of them actually got whacked. And other individuals out there, modern day individuals, they get frustrated and they give up because there are trolls out there and debunkers and people who think they know it all, and they come around there and they try to discourage people. They try to make themselves more intelligent than they really are by trying to quote the laws of physics or thermodynamics. 9 times out of 10, those that are out there quoting the laws of thermodynamics are quoting them improperly, misquoting the laws of thermodynamics, and they don't understand the laws of thermodynamics. Look, I know the laws of physics, and I know what science says. I know about mechanics. I know about electronics. I know about all kinds of stuff. I've studied everything under the sun that I can possibly imagine, and then some. And I don't have a large ego. I got a large heart. There's a difference. And I'm trying to share this information with people. And so, with that said, when you talk about the laws of thermodynamics, you use those physics to your advantage. When you talk about the lens effect, you use it to your advantage. And even eddy currents, when you get eddy currents going on, you use them to your advantage. You can decide whenever you want this particular episode happening or not. It's all about moving energy and how you move energy. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction, is what they said. So if I'm going to do something that's going to cause heat inadvertently while I'm trying to extract energy, why not monopolize on that heat? If I need something to be warm over here, I can warm it up because I know how to do it. Using magnetics and friction and eddy currents and the lens effect. If I want to use the lens effect to, as a braking force, I can get that going. Basically, produce a second magnetic field that acts like a brake on the armature and slows you down. They got regenerative braking out there that actually puts some juice back in your battery by that back EMF that's coming out of there. So yeah, I get it. I get it all. You know, so when these people come around and try to tell me how stupid I am because I'm not using the terminology that the school book says, because I'm so far out of the box, because I'm trying to show some but such people something that has absolutely nothing to do with their doggone way of doing things. It doesn't have nothing to do with their mathematics. The mathematics stop applying at one point, and then at another point, when you move that energy back around to where you want to be able to use it again with the standard inefficient junk that we call electronics and electrical devices and such, even mechanical as far as that goes. I take this energy, I change the frequency, I change the voltage range, I drop the current down, I move the energy where I want it to go, I transform it from AC current to DC current, higher frequencies, lower frequencies, and then finally bring it around to where I bring it back into usable current again, to where now you can run your load off of it. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. That's what they said. So where does it go, folks? It's there. It's always been there. And even whenever you're using it, it ain't going nowhere. It's still there. It just changed forms. So while you're using electricity, you know, you're just changing the forms. It's either going to be AC current, it's going to be DC current, it's going to be higher voltage at a higher frequency or a lower frequency.
Where's our boy Thane Hines at?
I don't know where he's at. I ain't heard from him for years.
It's time to reach out to him.
Yep. I need to get a bunch of these folks that are still alive at a round table. And let's, like, put our pieces of the puzzle together. You know, I keep talking about...
I think Dane Hines is the one that'll pull it all together. I mean, not to say we ain't pulling it together. We're pulling it together. But the dream team is huge on Earth. And it's time to
break through. That's the whole key there, Ted. Is we need to build a dream team, and I've successfully got my dream team started over here. We could always use more people that want to get involved, but we're not asking anybody to absorb the burden for everybody. We're basically putting our resources and our minds together, and we are focusing towards, like right now, this project's efficiency. All right, we got more projects going on right now behind the scenes than I've actually talked about or actually put videos of. But we have multiple projects in the works. They're actually getting done. There's going to be actual working devices that to show people. There's going to be diagrams, open source.
I want to hear what Dane Holmes has to say about it all.
Well, I'd love to get him on here. If he's alive and he wants to get on here and start talking.
He's alive. He's up there in Canada somewhere, I think.
Well, you know, I'd even settle for John Hutchinson if he wanted to get on here and talk. You know? But we all got to do it respectfully. And we all got to understand that not all of us use the same doggone terminology. I'm trying to put it in the simplest form. It's like Occam's razor, you know. It's usually the simplest solution. You see what I mean? But,
yeah.
Nonetheless, so that everybody, including the average Joe who's not an electrician or electronics engineer or mechanical engineer, can understand what it is we're trying to achieve here. I'm trying to achieve a cleaner, more efficient method by which they can actually use the energies to still be able to enjoy the luxuries that we do now and be able to extend that benefit to what they would call third world nations. I don't like that term. I don't like the term homelessness or starvation or even for that matter somebody dying of thirst on a world that is three quarters covered in water. It's ridiculousness. We can not only work in perfect harmony with nature, but we can work in perfect harmony with one another. And my little piece of the puzzle that I'm trying to share with you here today, and everybody else's piece of the puzzle combined, are the solutions that everybody said that they needed. They said that we had to save the planet. Okay, well, everybody knows how I feel about global warming / climate change or climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. But nonetheless, there's solutions available to fix that. You don't have to use carbon-based fuels if you don't want to use carbon-based fuels. But if you want to use carbon-based fuels, there's ways to make sure that that carbon-based fuel runs so incredibly efficient that it is not putting out any waste carbon. And anything that would have came out there gets recaptured and reused as usable energy. There is no such thing as losses in the system that I am talking about. Nothing is a loss. Look, if you burn firewood in your doggone wood-burning stove, and that firewood doesn't burn completely in there, and it goes up the chimney, you get what's known as creosote up in there. You get soot build up, you get creosote build up there. You scrape that stuff off, it's another fuel. If you don't clean your chimney out, then eventually it'll back up, and when it does back up, and you got just a little bit of hot fire going through there, because it's starving for air, it will set fire to that stuff, and it will turn your chimney into a cannon, and shoot flaming creosote and carbon out of your chimney, maybe even possibly set your house on fire, blow your chimney off the foundation. Alright, so you got to clean it out every once in a while. But nonetheless, that stuff that you cleaned up out of there is another fuel source. It's carbon-based, but it's a fuel source. The ashes that come up out of there after you burn that, and there's like several different products, one of which is lye soap, one of which you can use it for traction to get your car out of snowdrift. Alright, you can use it for fertilizer. There's many different things that you can actually use wood ash for. Look it up. Google it. The information. You got the vast sum of all man's knowledge at your fingertips, like my friend Simply Steve says. Alright, but nonetheless, when you burnt that firewood, it's gone. Alright, but is it really gone? No, it's not gone. It just changed chemicals. It just changed into different stuff. You see what I mean? You didn't do anything to it. Nature recycles everything, including you. So if you understand that, then you understand that there are no losses in nature. There are no losses in energy, period. No matter how much water you drink, you'll never drink up this entire world's worth of water. Because every time you drink it out, it goes back, it gets recycled into the system. No matter whether you use water as a fuel source, and you separate the hydrogen and oxygen and use the reaction, because water is the most stable molecule, it does not want to be separated. So when you separate it, it releases electrical charge from that energy release there. Plus, if you ignite it, because it takes three things to start a fire. It takes an ignition source, it takes oxygen, and a fuel source, all of which you have in the molecule we call H2O, water. What do you think of that?
Water. So, water.
There you go, man. There is no such thing as waste unless you allow it to be wasted. And it's not really wasted. It just goes back out into the world. It gets reused. All we're doing is moving energy from one place to the next. We're speeding it up, slowing it down, pressurizing it, letting it go. You heat up the gas, you compress the gas, it gets hot. You allow it to expand rapidly, it gets cold. All this, bam, bam, bam. All we're doing is moving stuff around. Now, let's start moving around in the most efficient manner and the manner at which it works the most perfect harmony with nature. That's it. What do you think?
Love it.
So,
absolutely love it.
You should see me on Twitch. I'm all animated.
I'll flip back over there.
I got my hands flying around like a crazy man. I'm sitting up in my chair like a grasshopper, and I'm just going all off, man. It's kind of wild seeing myself on TV while doing a radio show. I probably need a haircut and a mustache trim and a shave. But nonetheless, my brain's working. Right now we're at 6.53, getting ready to go 6.54 on that main charge capacitor. We're at 4.20 on the nickel metal hydride batteries. We're at 4.27 on the nickel cadmium batteries. And keep in mind, every so often these might fluctuate a little bit here and there because energy's moving around in the system. It's trying to find the path of least resistance. It's going to go to the circuit that doesn't demand near as much first, and it's going to charge that system up. Okay, so you might have a slight decrease on one side section, but then once that lower circuit is fully charged up and the energy has nowhere to go, it goes right back in and starts charging that one up again. So it's going its way, working its way like a mouse through the maze trying to find the cheese. You know, it's the electricity trying to find the path to ground. Now that you know how energy travels, you know that all energy, doesn't matter what it is, can be stored You know, you can change the form of energy. They said energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be changed. You can change the form of it. You can change the speed of it. You can use the pressure. You can use the temperature. You can do, there's so much, so many ways to get electricity in this world. It's ridiculous, man. And you can take that to the bank. Power company is. Don't think they ain't. Doggone gasoline industry, the coal industry. They're taking it to the bank. They're taking you to the cleaner. They're taking each and every one of you to the cleaner and taking your money to the bank. Old crazy Harris Shaziz is here to tell you a way to keep more money in your pocket. Build a simple system like this right here and perfect it. Get your electrical engineers and your electronics majors out there. Get them working on a project. Make yourself some smart grids for your house so that when the power comes into your house, once it's past that meter, the power company will tell you anything past that meter, from the meter into your house, belongs to you. So if anything breaks down there, you gotta fix it. They won't do it. So once you buy that electricity, once it comes into your house, you paid for that electricity. Now, if you decide you want to clean that electricity up and use it in a more efficient manner, you ain't stealing nothing. You paid for every doggone drop of energy that you got off the power grid. And if your light bill goes down because you're using it more efficiently, you just tell them, hey, you said we need to reduce our carbon footprint. I did just that. I paid you for what I used. I amplified it. I cleaned it up. And I did it efficiently. And now all my stuff runs. Here's your $5. What do you think of that? Huh?
You're cool. Yeah, I like that.
Well,
you know I like that.
Man, it's an exciting show. Folks, you're listening to Mad Science. If you're watching me on Twitch and you like this crazy mad-haired science stuff, click that follow button. Go over there and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Or if you're on Facebook or Twitter, throw the thumbs up thing over there. Because I'm going to keep this information flowing out. As long as I'm able to do it, I'm going to keep it coming out. And I'm going to keep showing you these experiments. Now that I have access to Twitch, which is pretty doggone cool, I'll be able to do that live while doing my radio show. And once I get the doggone audio worked out, you'll be able to hear what it is I'm saying. Instead of just watch this crazy old guy bounce around sitting like a grasshopper up in his revolving chair. Woo! Anyway, so with that said, follow me on Twitch and Twitter and all that, because I put links out there all the time for videos that I liked out there, or videos that I did, or pertinent information that's going to benefit you. And if you pass that on to somebody else, it's going to benefit them as well. If you're into saving money and alternative energy and finally getting stuff done instead of hearing people talk about it, you came to the right place. If you want to be part of the dream team and add your piece of the puzzle to the mix, we need you. We need as many Dream Team members as possible. In every single neighborhood, every single community, there should be a Dream Team. If we can get that going on, and you guys can take the best of your best from your community, and we got access to Skype and Twitch and YouTube, and we can share information real time with one another, you can look in my lab and see what's going on, and vice versa. And so, you know, we can share this information. We can get all the problems that they said exist. We can get them resolved. We can end homelessness and sickness. And we can end the doggone starvation and all that. In a world such as we got, with all the resources we have access to and all the knowledge that we have access to, you shouldn't even hear terminology like that. It shouldn't even be a thing. But it is, and until it's resolved, old Shaziz is going to be out here trying to show everybody there's a better way. That's what mad science is all about. And so with that said, I think I've been done said everything I can say today, because we're running down to the last 5 minutes, and I got to shut Twitch off before I go to the outro. because I don't want to get socked with a copyright, because you know how these social medias are these days. They're all in to make some doggone money, and they don't want you to use musics or whatever. You know, we'll get it resolved. We'll help them out. But in the same sense, try to keep ourselves out of trouble. So, with that said, I'll go ahead and shut the live stream off to everybody. Throw the peace sign out there. Peace and love to everybody on Twitch. And to all your friends to come over here. Alright? Take care. So I'll stop the live stream there. Stop the server. There we go. Now that particular video I stopped over there for today's radio show, it'll be up for 14 days. If you like the video, download the doggone thing and take it off and run with it. Throw it up on your YouTube channel. I don't care. Matter of fact, if you like today's podcast, share it with somebody. Cut it up, chop it up, take the best of the best and disperse it however you feel like it. I don't even care if you throw advertisements on it. Once it's on your site or your YouTube channel, if you can make a few pennies in your bucket to further your research or benefit you in any way, then that's wonderful. I'm happy for you. You know, Shaziz doesn't ask for donations. I just ask for people to share information and to help me bring the dream team together. And everything else I'll take care of. I got it all covered. And so, you know, if I'm ever in a serious jam, I'll figure my way out of it, you know, unless it's something really terrible or whatever that I'm just in the jam. I wouldn't dare ask anybody for any help that I wasn't able to give back to them. So with that said, everything on Shaziz Radio is free. Everything on my YouTube channel is free. All that information is free for the taking. It's free for the sharing. That's what I do here on Mad Science. And I want everybody to reap the benefits. That's it. I'm just trying to plant the seed of knowledge and try to do my part in helping you to help us all make a better world. That's the simple of the whole deal. It's what the Mad Science Show's all about. I promised you I was going to show you some cool stuff. And I aim to do just that, and I hope I did that today. And I hope you paid attention to what it is that I said out there. And I hope you take it and run with it. Every idea that I send out there, I hope you take it and add to it. I hope you take it and run with it. Alright, with that said, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science Show. Take care. This show, Super Efficiency. So if you're looking for it later, if you just tuned in, that's the one. Super Efficiency. Look it up, share it, and so on. Take care. Peace and love, everybody. Got anything last you want to say?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission. To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.